Well, good morning. Take a deep breath. And as we sit quietly, I encourage you to breathe in spirit and feel this divine presence deep within, knowing there is one presence, one intelligence, one source of all life everywhere present here today, knowing that spirit is a source and creator of all life. I consciously unify with this presence right now, knowing spirit is experiencing life in, as, and through me, and in, as, and through you. This mighty presence is the very breath of my life. I know the same truth for everyone hearing this prayer. We are all connected within this one mind. Spirit is always here within us, ready and willing to provide us with our every need and desire for our highest good. And so as we continue this service, we open the doors to our hearts and minds and allow spirit to move through us. I know that the minister and helpers are all listening and acting within the perfect realm of spirit. The words spoken, the music shared today are all expressions of the greatness of spirit on and around us. We know that we are deserving of all the unlimited perfection and goodness of spirit shared today and every day. And I rejoice as we celebrate our oneness together. Although we are apart, we experience this beautiful oneness. With a grateful heart, we say thank you for our awareness of the blessings shared. Now, as I turn this prayer over to Spirit, with complete expectancy, knowing that God is bringing forth the right and best outcome, I release it and let it go, knowing that Spirit is working on our behalf. And so it is. Namaste.
Affirm with me, love is all there is. I am love in form, and I exude love outward. I open my mind, I open my heart, and I open my whole being to spirit. We talked about how we, and I understand that we're a little tired sometimes of meeting on Zoom because we're not quite as connected as we would like to be. But if we remember for a moment that even when we're seeing each other in person and we're experiencing our bodies, we're not really experiencing the essence of who we are. We're still experiencing a shell, a something that's around the essence of who we are. And we've all experienced people that you can be talking to them and you know they're not there. You're just talking to a shell. And sometimes, you know, I've been that shell. You know, we put our walls up and we don't really want to hear. So realize that Zoom is just another layer of noticing that. And the truth is, because we're all one, we are all right now connected. So I invite you to take a moment to center in your heart and to feel that connection with everybody else in this call. There's 45 or 50 people in this call right now. Just feel that connection. Feel that heart-to-heart connection. Let your heart be touched by each other. And know that we're not alone and we're not isolated. We're just, as always, sitting in different places. So breathing that in. This whole month, we're looking at a series called Listen to Your Heart. Listen to Your Heart. And today, our talk title, or what I want to work with, is called The Great Work of Your Life. And the great work of our life really is our soul journey. It's awakening to our true, to our authentic self, to who am I really? You know, we spend most of our life kind of working with and expanding our idea of who am I really? And there's no, by the way, there's no right answer to that question. Okay, there's no, I get here, I get a good grade, I get a gold star on my paper, or 100% an A, or whatever like that. It's an expanding question. It's an ever-expanding question. Who am I? Who am I now? Who am I now? Who am I now? And so this month, we began talking about the five stages of the soul, the expansion of the soul. And I define soul as the interface between our individualized expression of the whole or the one, our individualized expression of it, and the connection with that wholeness or oneness itself. So it is this interconnection. It is the infinite, immortal aspect of who we are. Our bodies come and go. You know, we bring them in, we let them go. But there's a soul, there's an essence, there's a something. The Atman is it's called in some cultures. That is more than that. That is our connection to the One. And so the five stages that we talked about are first the call, and then the search, the struggle or effort, the breakthrough, and the return. Those are the five stages that we're playing with here. And these are, we're constantly on this journey. This is not we take it once and we're done. You know, this is a constant journey that we're doing. So today we're going to explore the first two stages of that process. We're going to explore the call and the search. And most of us who are in this kind of a teaching, in a new thought or a spiritual teaching, are familiar with the call. Oftentimes, it's what's lifted us away from the religious beliefs that we grew up with into this kind of a teaching. You know, somewhere along the line, something said, "There's more than what I'm being presented with now," and so it's what triggered the search that led us into this kind of teaching. You know, last week, Reverend Liz talked about this call when she talked about listening to that deep wisdom within our heart. And it's not the wisdom of, as she says, the if it feels good, do it now, shallowness, but the more of the if it feels true and authentic, do it. If there's a sense of life affirming and life expanding and blessing ourselves and all of life, then do it. Then we allow that to come through that. So this is the call. I've talked many times, and I know some of you have worked with the book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And oftentimes we can hear the call as we're sitting in our zone of excellence, what he calls our zone of excellence, which is our level 3 out of 4 zones in that book. And we hear the call to move to our zone of genius. Our zone of excellence is where we're humming along, everything's good, but we know there's something more. And it's that call to that knowing that there's something more. And as Reverend Liz said last week, this call can be a voice, it can be a dream, it can be a sense that there is something more, and we get pulled for it. And we can do this, when we encounter this, we can do a variation of 3 things when we hear that call. The first thing is we can ignore it. You call me, I'm hanging up. Yeah, we can ignore it. You know, you can say, "Nope, that can't be real. That's not real. No, I don't know. You know, or who me? I could never do or be that. You know, or I'm too busy. Besides, my life's fine right now. I'm good. I don't want to take that call." You know, Joseph Campbell talks about the mythical story of Apollo and Daphne as a great example of the unanswered call. And so Apollo, who's a god in the Greek mythology, Apollo is a god, falls in love with this wood nymph named Daphne. And he pursues her and he tells her how much he loves her and he wants to take her with him up to Mount Olympus where she can live in the bliss and the beauty of Mount Olympus. But she's a wood nymph and she's familiar with the trees and the rocks and the streams and all that earth nature. She's an earth girl, if you will. And so she's like, no, and she keeps on rejecting his advances and his proposals. And finally, her father, who's a river god, turns her into a laurel tree where she can sit by the banks of a stream forever and be with that earth and with that stone. And Joseph Campbell points out that what this is the opportunity to move up into the realm of the divine, to live in the brilliance and the brightness of the divine, but this person and that person lives, this Daphne lives within all of us, is so rooted in what is normal and comfortable for her that she can't envision the divine. She can't envision the new light. And so instead, she chooses to devolve, if you will, down into a lower life form instead of evolving to a higher life form, and is then stuck in her comfortable bark, and she's comfortable, but with no possibility of growing into the divine. And so that's the call when we don't answer it, when we say no, is we get stuck and we tend to go backwards or just stay the same, but life is moving forwards. You know, there's that phrase, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're growing, you're answering, listening to and answering the call. if you're not, you're saying, nope, I'm on this plateau and I do not want to leave it. And I sink my roots down in and stop growing. Sometimes that call that we get comes to lift us out of current, either stale or painful situations or entrapments, things that we know we need to move on from. Sometimes that call comes to prepare us for coming events that we're not yet aware of. But there's a larger intellect, a larger intelligence, if you will, a larger consciousness that knows. The second thing we can do with a call is start and then quit. And usually we quit when we encounter either the second or the third stage, the second stage being the search and the third stage being the struggle or the working with it, really, really getting jiggy with it, as Will Smith says. And we feel overwhelmed and not enough when we encounter that. And the truth of the call is we are never currently enough. That's what the call is about. It's to expand our idea of our enoughness, expand who we are. When we get the call, we're not ready to really live that call yet. We're just willing to say, yes, I'm willing to go on that journey, knowing that I've got to have some help. I've got to have some something to support me in growing and becoming more. The purpose of the call is to lift and expand us. We can't answer the call and stay as the same person we've always been. That's the good news. That's the bad news. And the third and the most powerful thing we can do when we get that call, if you're all here in present with me, I would say, and that is, and you would all say yes. It's say yes to that call. Sometimes the call comes as a gentle nudge from within, a little whisper, a little nudge. And sometimes when we don't listen to that nudge, we get the 2x4 of life across our forehead, which usually comes when we haven't listened to that gentle nudge from within. When we get that call, we can either do the fight, flight, or freeze model, or we can surrender and say yes. I have a friend of mine, some of you may know her, named Esther Nicholson. She's a wonderful practitioner out of Agape. She no longer lives in Los Angeles, but she trained for 17 years with Michael Beckwith out of Agape as a practitioner. And her career for a long time was that she was a singer. She was a backup singer for Rod Stewart and for Bette Midler and went on world tours with them. And so she talks about, she equates this to what she calls the white envelope, that's the little nudge, the pink envelope, that's when it gets a little louder, and the red envelope, which is where it's bang in your face. And she talks about how she was beginning to get the urge that she should really let go of her singing career and move into being a full-time practitioner and let that work be her work of her life. And she said, no. It's way too much money, way too much fun on the road and glory and fame and stuff like that. She said, no. So she got a pink letter experience. I don't remember exactly what the experience was, but it upped the ante. And she still said, but the money, it's so good. No, I'm not ready to go. And finally, she got what she called the red letter. And the red letter came in the form of Rod Stewart calling her up and saying, darling, it's been a great journey, and I'm going to go for some younger talent. In other words, you're fired. And her comment was, have you seen Rod Stewart going for younger talent? It's like, you know, she's a perfect person to be singing Hot Legs in the background. But anyways, I move aside. But that was her comment, by the way. I have another friend named Antion, who's a musician. And Antion was, in his younger years, the lead guitarist for Eric Burdon and the Animals, the second iteration of the Animals, and was highly praised for his guitar work. And he eventually got tired of the music industry. He was living in Los Angeles and got tired of the drugs and the touring and all the stuff. And he finally said, I'm leaving. And he said, he heard this voice say to him, you're going to be more famous for your voice than for your guitar. At the time, that made no sense to him because he was just a guitarist. But he joined the Sikh religion and deepened with that. And eventually he became the first non-Indian person to lead chanting in the Golden Lotus Temple in the Sikh religion in India. The first person to lead chanting. And he has a fabulous voice. He's got a number of albums out with his singing. And so these are people who heard the call. Sometimes the call had to come with a red letter envelope or a 2x4. Sometimes they listened to the nudge. Sometimes they got to a point where their life as it was unmanageable and they had to step away. Once we say yes to that call, And I'm hoping you all say yes to that call. Once we say yes, and by the way, eventually you will say yes to the call because it keeps on coming and it keeps on coming and it gets louder and more persistent and it's much harder to resist. Once we say yes, we move into the second stage, which is the search, which is to say, how can I embody this call? When we do the process of visioning, we ask the first question we ask is, what is the vision? The second question is, who must I become to allow this vision to come forward? And so that's the search. In some way or another, each of us, all of us, have been on a search for our whole lives. When we were very young, we might have been searching for our parents' and siblings' love. We might have, in school, been searching for our teachers' and peer approval through good grades or acting out to be the class clown or the class bad boy or bad girl to get our peer approval. We've been searching for it in career. We've been searching in relationships. We've been searching and searching and searching. And eventually we realize what we're really searching for is a relationship with the infinite, a relationship with the one. Everything in the finite world passes away. The American author Stephen Crane wrote this about that. He said, "I saw a man pursuing the horizon. Round and round they sped. I was disturbed at this. I accosted the man. 'It is futile,' I said. 'You can never—' 'You lie,' cried the man, and ran on." And that's sometimes how it feels. You know, Pink Floyd summarized that is you know, and the words just went away from me. We go round and around. I should ask Brent to help me out here because he probably knows that song. But anyways, they go on. They have a song the same way. Sorry about that. I just blew my Pink Floyd metaphor. Eventually, we realize that the only thing we're searching for is the infinite, which is always present. And when we clearly hear the call and search for that which is truly ours, the words that are attributed to Jesus, "Seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened to you," become our way of life. Become our way of life. We begin to hear the call, we begin to answer the call, and the doors begin to open. Ultimately, what we are seeking is our purpose. Our why am I here? What am I to do? What is mine to do? The Sufi poet Rumi said, "There is one thing that must never be forgotten. It is as if a king had sent you to a foreign country with a task to perform. You go and perform many other tasks. But if you fail to perform the task for which you were sent, it will be as if you had done nothing at all." One of the ways I sometimes deal with a call and that is, I ask myself the question, when I get to the end of my life and I'm laying there, maybe my last couple of days, am I going to be asking myself the question, what should I have done instead? What could I have done better? What was mine to do that I didn't do? Or will I be able to say, I did what I came here to do? I know that I lived an authentic life to the very best of my ability. And when we answer the call and when we do this soul journey process, we can arrive at the end of our lives saying, yes, I have done to the best of my ability what was mine to do. Some people, when they get to this search stage, they go looking for the right guru or the right monastery or some other, the right teaching, the right external place. But the search is always here. It's always within us. It's always right where I am. It does help to break free of the routines of life sometimes to turn off the monotony or the sameness of our lives and to go do a retreat, take a vacation, you know, climb a mountain or whatever. So that sometimes is helpful. It may be even helpful to create a worldwide pandemic so we can interrupt our normal lives. Yeah. And many people are using this as a time to start to do a search, to start to listen for the call and to start to answer that call. The search is an eternal aspect of life because we are really exploring the infinite. And the infinite is pretty big, right? It's infinite. Paradoxically, in the search stage, we must also find. We must also say, this is where I'm going to land now. I'm going to deepen with this spiritual practice. Otherwise, we're like butterflies in a spiritual candy store, and we're always flitting around, never really landing. And one of the reasons that sometimes we do that, people do that, is because they recognize what the next stage is, which is the stage of effort or struggle, which is our talk next week, by the way. And so we don't land and we don't engage because it might involve actually sitting down and doing some work. And for some of us, that scares the heck out of us. So we do have to both search and find and say, this is the practice, this is the teacher, this is the method, this is the whatever that I am going to work with to go deeper and deeper. I'm not saying it's the right and perfect always teacher or practice or whatever, but it is the one that calls to me right now, and I'm going to play with this until I realize that I need to move on to something else. So this week, I invite you to do three things, three spiritual practices. Number one, listen. As Reverend Liz said last week, consistent spiritual practice keeps us in touch with our heart and with our soul. So listen, so we can hear the call. You don't want to wait until the 2x4 comes along, or by the way, what comes after the 2x4 is what I call the Mack truck or the locomotive of life. You know, it just flattens you completely. So you don't want to wait for that. You want to listen. You want to stay in that constant listening mode, checking in. The second spiritual practice then is say yes. Just say yes. The call and the search are invitations to touch the divine. They're the Apollo inviting Daphne, the Daphne within us, to touch the divine, to expand into someone we aren't yet. And yes, we're going to have to get a little uncomfortable at it, but say yes, because it's worth so much more. And then finally, the third practice is trust the infinite within you. You know, Michael Beckwith has a fabulous saying. He says, a bad day for the ego is a good day for the soul. So trust that infinite process within you. Don't be afraid of a little chaos and disorder. It's the creativity of life at work. So that's our three practices. Listen, say yes, trust the infinite within you. Can I get a thumbs up if you're with me, if you're good for doing something like that? Great. Me too. Definitely doing that. I'm going to close with a couple of quotes from a playwright and psychologist named Florida Scott Maxwell. And she says, you have neat, tight expectations of what life ought to give you, but you won't get it. That isn't what life does. Life does not accommodate you, it shatters you. It is meant to, and it couldn't do it better. Every seed destroys its container, or else there would be no fruition. Every seed destroys its container. The chick has to peck its way out of the egg. The butterfly has to destroy the cocoon. Everything, the plants destroy the seed that it originally was to become something more. Life is meant to shatter us, not to accommodate us. She also says, life is meant to be heroic. Greatness is required of us. That is life's aim and justification. And we poor fools have for centuries been trying to make it convenient, manageable, and pliant to our will. Life will also be peaceful and tender and funny and dull. Yes, it is all that. So we have an affirmation that I'd like to invite us to say together. Let me bring that up really quickly here. And so say with me, I say yes to the call of my soul to seek, see, and be more than I ever knew was possible. One more time. I say yes to the call of my soul to seek, see, and be more than I ever thought was possible. Thank you.